Airline executives struggling to cut costs might want to check in with the people who fly the planes. The guys working in the cockpit see some things that cause airlines to spend money needlessly. Here's one of them, airline pilot and day-to-day contributor Joe Dion.
17025-30, as you speak.
I was sitting on the taxiway the other day, about 6 or 7 in line for takeoff, when the winds kicked up, and they went out of limits. So nobody could take off. We just had to sit there, and we didn't know for how long.
There's another gust front slightly in trail of the one that's just passing, so some more.
My co-pilot and I sat and talked about the usual stuff, like what's happening in the airline industry, rising fuel costs, falling pay rates, and of course the latest sensational airline stories in the media. I told the co-pilot that I actually had a lady stop me in the airport and ask if we were going to have enough fuel to get to our destination, because she had heard on the television that the airlines were cutting back and not putting enough gas on the airplanes. We had to laugh. The truth is, like all pilots, when I'm taxiing, I keep track of the minimum fuel required for takeoff. And if we go below that number, even just a little bit, I head back to the gate and get more gas. So in a case where we have a long wait like this, I shut the engines down so we don't have to do that. In fact, most of us on that taxiway were shutting our engines down.
You recommend shut both down?
I would say that would be a safe bet for now.
So we waited for the winds to die down. But then something unusual happened. One of the wind measuring devices on the airport got stuck. It kept reporting winds out of limits even when it was pretty obvious that the wind had died down.
We're trying to get them to validate to find out if that gust is actually accurate or not. Our in-house weather person doesn't believe that it is, but...
The tower asked the first pilot in line if he wanted to go anyways.
As long as they're showing 38, we can't go with that.
So we waited. Someone asked if they could get meter fixed or even turned off. But the tower said it was out of their control.
Well, we're at the mercy of another unit to validate that, to be quite honest. So we just went on a report by.
Okay.
So we waited some more, and the line of airplanes behind us got longer. Pretty soon, every airplane that had pushed back from its gate in the hopes of taking off on that runway was in line behind us. The gates were all empty, and a line of airplanes stretched behind us the entire length of the runway. That's 2 miles. It started to become obvious that the wind reading was wrong. The windsock didn't show high winds. The airplane wasn't getting buffeted around like it normally does when it's windy. But no one was saying anything to the pilot who was first in line. It was his decision to make. Finally, a new voice came up on tower frequency. She said that there was a light fixture up in the tower, and then when it really gets windy, it rocks back and forth.
Nothing's moving, so for whatever that's worth.
Well, the pilot at number one position thought about it for a second, and then he said,
"I would give it a shot for AC-232.
After that, it was like off to the races. Everybody started their engines, and we were all off.
Hey, AC-232 with runway 27 right, clear for takeoff.
I don't know how much that little glitch cost the airlines that day. I leave it up to Wall Street to worry about the market forces that buffet the airline industry. I just worry about the forces of nature.
Light rain showers in the descent, starting about 40 miles northwest of Bunny and extending just to the north of Bunny.
That was writer and commercial airline pilot Joe Dion.